Morning, folks. Let's turn over to 1 John and chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We'll be looking today at 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. But we're going to couple in also 1 John chapter 2 and verses 18 through 27. Had a good time down at the NBF meetings. Got caught up with some different preachers and the like. Got to spend some time in the pastor that hosted me. He got to spend some time in his house and sat around the table talking, coffee, carrot cake, nice thick icing on it, tremendous. Your mum did a really good job on that cake, mate. She did all right. Well, it was interesting how much they had to say about Ian while we were down there. So I've got furnished with all sorts of illustrations now. just helping out. It was enjoyable. But the meeting was good and brought back a lot of things, got some help, and I was glad to go down. 1 John chapter 4. These 1 John 4 and 1 to 6 and 1 John 2 verse 18, we're going to couple them together, but before we look at those two passages, we're going to start in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24. We need to know this, how chapter 3 finishes as we come into chapter 4. And he that keepeth, John chapter 3 verse 24, the commandments dwelleth in him and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Now this is the first mention in the epistle here of Spirit by specific name mention, capital S. And this is important that we have here. John speaks of the Spirit. So come back to 1 John. Let's just look at a few references here about the Holy Spirit before we look into our lesson, because it is crucial that we see these things. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One and ye know all things. We see here that the Holy Spirit is the anointing and teaching Spirit. He is the anointing and teaching Spirit. It parallels, if you're taking notes, John chapter 14 verse 26 and chapter 16 verses 13 and 14, where it talks about he shall teach you all things, he shall bring back to your remembrance. So you've got to make sure, if he can only bring back to your remembrance what you've put in. If you don't put it in, he can't bring it to your remembrance. He's got to teach you. But he will bring it to your remembrance. He will guide you into all truth. We find there in chapter 3 in verse 24 that I read, and also in verse 14, chapter 14, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. So we see that the Holy Spirit, firstly, is the anointing and teaching Spirit, but he is also the abiding Spirit. He abides. He's been given unto us that salvation. He's been given. So he's the anointing and teaching Spirit. He's the abiding Spirit. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, we'll read now. And we're going to see that he is the attesting Spirit. He will attest. He will bear witness to. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby ye know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, over in John's Gospel, it talks about the Holy Spirit leading into all truth. The Holy Spirit's not going to lead into error. He's going to lead into truth. So it's important that we listen to the Spirit of God so that we will follow after Him into truth. If we're not following, if we're not abiding in the Spirit of God and He's not abiding in us, it's going to be difficult for us to abide in truth. So we need Him for truth. He is the attesting Spirit. Chapter 5 and verses 6 through 8, we see Him as the authenticating Spirit. This is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. So we see Him as the authenticating Spirit. He authenticates. He brings to reality. We see there's the witness in heaven, verse 7. There's the witness on earth, verse 8. So we see the importance of the Holy Spirit. Now, having said that, let's go back to chapter 2 and let's make our way through. He is the abiding, authenticating, attesting Holy Spirit. And he will do that. He authenticates. He will prove to us who Jesus Christ is. Now, probably about 3 weeks ago, we went through this. I was teaching and we looked in verses 15 to 17 in sufficient detail, and also in verses 28 and 29 also. We read down through these verses, but it was always my goal to come back to these verses and to open them up, because there are things that overlap between this chapter, chapter 2, and then those opening verses of chapter 4. So let's read these verses, 18 now down through 27. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, and denieth the Father and the Son. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man should teach you. And as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it is taught, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So we have here about chapters 1 and 2 deal with our fellowship. Chapters 3, 4 and 5 deal with our sonship. So this is at the latter end of the division of the book of John dealing with our sonship. There are three conflicts that appear in the epistle: light and darkness, chapter 1 and into the early part of chapter 2. Then we have love and hate. And then we have truth and error. It is important what we believe. Notice verse 18, and it says, little children, it is the last time. In the day and age that we live in, it is important what we believe. It is good to have a sincere heart. We need sincerity. But we need to know the truth. You can sincerely believe a lie and it will hurt you. So with sincerity, couple it with truth. So make sure you couple that sincerity with truth. Truth is important. As believers, we are to walk in light, love, and truth. They are three marks of our fellowship with the Lord. If we're not walking in the light, if we're not walking in love, if we're not walking in the truth, we are not going to be in fellowship with the Lord. If we are not walking in love, chapter 3, if we're not walking in light, chapter 4, and in obedience and truth, chapter 5, you are not bearing the marks of your sonship, of being a son, being a child of God. It does not mean to say that if those aren't evident, you're not a child of God. But those things mark you. Those things ought to bear witness. If those things aren't bearing witness, chapter 5, those opening verses down through chapter 5, I suppose up to around about verse 12, 13, talks about bearing witness. This is the record. Testifier. There are things that are supposed to bear witness, that are supposed to be a record of us. Now, verse 18. So we need to be walking in truth. It is the last time. It's not necessarily a kind of time, but a duration of time, and we are in the last days. 1 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy, and 1 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 3 talks about the latter times and the last days. So it's a duration of time. It's right where we're at now. Now, God works in human time because we are creatures of time. But God is above time. God isn't limited by time. But everything that we do is so conditioned with time. Now notice, little children is the last time. And as you've heard, that Antichrist shall come. Now, in this verse, we see Antichrist singular, Antichrist plural. Now, John is the only writer in the Bible that speaks of or writes of Antichrist. No other writer does. Now, when we consider that word anti, that prefix meaning against or instead of. Against or instead of. So, there is a spirit of Antichrist, something that is in opposition to or instead of, something against Christ. Verses 15 through 17 talk about the world, and I made mention in there that there is the spirit of this world. And this world, the spirit of this world is against Christ, is against God and his Christ. They go against him. There are three things that Antichrist defines or describes. Number one is the spirit of this world. So when you see that word Antichrist, it is the spirit that is against this world. The spirit of this world that is against Christ. It's the spirit came into this world when the devil declared war on God back in Genesis 3. That spirit came through. It's against, this world is against God. They're behind every false doctrine, every substitute, every counterfeit. They'll put in their religious substitute. They'll put it in there. They want to exclude God. They want to get him out. But then also there is the Antichrist, which is the man of sin, the one, the satanic superman that's going to stand up and is going to have an awful lot of influence in this world in days to come. There is that Antichrist. But then also, there are false teachers who embody this spirit of Antichrist that are against Christ. And they are known by three characteristics which are found in these verses that we've read here this morning. So firstly, they depart the spirit of Antichrist as in a false teacher. We see in verses 18 and 19 that they depart from the fellowship. We're going to see there especially in verse 19, they went out from us. That word us is in there five times. They were not of us. They went out from us. They, they, they depart from the fellowship. Verses 20 through 25, they deny the faith. And you can link that then with 1 John chapter 4 and verses 1 to 6. These false teachers deny the faith. They take away from faith, the faith that is in Christ. Why? They want to shift your faith. They want to shift it. Take it away from God and his Christ, the word of God. They want you to take your faith away and put it into something else. Verses 26 and down through 29, he tries to deceive the faithful. The Antichrist, the false teacher, will try to deceive the faithful in church. They don't try to get their own converts. They like getting Christians that already have some sort of Bible background and then sway them over to their way of thinking. So the spirit of Antichrist is in the world. We have the Antichrist being the satanic Superman, and then we have the false teachers, which are also embody the spirit. In this world, it's either the truth working through the church under the power of the Holy Ghost, or it's the spirit of this world, it's the spirit of error pushed by Satan in this world. There's only two forces that are moving in this world. It's either God or it's the devil. Two forces. God will use the church, the world will use the devil. God will use truth through the church, the devil will use lies and falsehood through the world to try and get us off track. Verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. Not everyone that makes up a local church is a born-again Christian. Many people are members of a church, but yet they are not members of the church, the church that Christ died for. One of the marks of Christians is we want to be in church. We want to gather together. I want to be with other Christians. I want to be where other Christians are at. But see, then people that are false, they get out. I always get concerned about people that get out. Oh, where are they? Oh, got out of church. Why is that? Why'd they get out of church? They must have believed a lie. Or they stopped loving somebody. Or they got out of the light of the word. We covered that over in the earlier chapters. People just get out of church. These false teachers, they'll get out of church. Oh, they're not doing it right. You find that in the minds of a false teacher, no one's doing it right but them. And they'll, I've got the truth. I have an inside run on the truth. I know who that is. But see, Christians, we want to hang around sheep want to hang around with sheep. And we want to be together. But see, then false teachers, they'll go out and they'll want to do their own thing. They start off with us, but then it says there, no doubt, they would have continued with us. People get out and don't continue. Doesn't mean to say you can't leave this church and go to another church. But be careful of when everyone else is wrong and you're the only one right. Be careful. Because you're setting yourself up for a fall. They're wrong. I'm right. I'll get my own group going. And they go from there. The counterfeit Christians, they go out, but they don't produce spiritual fruit. Counterfeit Christians can only produce counterfeit fruit, no spiritual fruit at all. There's no love in their hearts for the Lord. No love in their hearts for Christians and the Word of God and those things. A lot of cults have started because people get out of church. They get away from the faith and they start and they tweak it themselves and all of a sudden they've got a following. And they start going down the road down there doing what they want to do. They separate themselves from the Bible. They separate themselves from Christ. And then they'll follow the teachings of man. They'll have their own hobby horses, what they like to ride on. It might be diets, prophecy. Prophecy is always a popular one. They always do prophecy. They always sit down the road. Is there anything wrong with a good diet? No. Is there anything wrong with prophecy? No. All scripture is given by inspiration. All. Every word of God Paul said, I have not shunned to declare on you all. We need all of it. But they get on that hobby horse and they ride it to death. It becomes important to them. So it's dangerous. Just watch out for people that get away. There are men and women that have good sized churches, have a lot of influence. They were in a church and they went out from it. They weren't sent out, they went out and went about doing their own thing. In verse 20, but in contrary to the things of verse 19, how these people have gone out, they didn't continue. They went out from us, they were not of us. They did not continue, they went out. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. So you have an unction, you have an anointing, you have this power, you have this, in some places called an ointment, one of the dictionary definitions of it. It's a reference to the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Now, the thing of unction, the thing of anointing, is an Old Testament term. I'm getting ahead. We'll leave that. I'll come back to it. It's a marker from the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit bears witness. Ye have an unction. He bears witness of us and to us. Remember, this is a few months now, we were in the book of Colossians. And one of the things about the Colossian, the writing, Paul's writing to the Colossians, was to help them sort out some things in mind, because in those days there was the agnostics. There was these people getting around saying, oh, if you follow us, we have more knowledge, we have more insight. So Paul writes to the Colossians about that, and he says, ye are complete in Christ. Remember that over in Colossians? Ye are complete. You don't need anything extra. You've been given a full salvation. And it just needs to grow. We need to live it out. We need to be able to do that. There are folk in John's day, even folk today, I have special insight. I have special revelation. God's given me something more than what's in scripture that if you come with me, I can help you. They'll talk about being illuminated and that special light. So just be careful. I've not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. He's not writing to people that were ignorant. He's talking to people that knew the truth. People that knew it, and yet they could still be drawn aside and pulled away by some false teachers. So he's telling them about the truth. You have an holy one. You're not ignorant of the truth. You know the truth. And who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So we have here the Trinity in verse 20 talks about the Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit. We have here the Son, and we have the Father. All parts of the Trinity are necessary for your salvation. No part of the Trinity is expendable. If you drop out one part of the Trinity from your salvation experience, you haven't got it. Because all three are part of your salvation experience. So he calls them on it. Remember, Jesus says, I and my Father are one. John here testifies that Jesus is Christ. He has the deity of Christ. So he says, I and my Father run, John chapter 5, all men should honour the Son, even as they honour the Father. He that honoureth not the Son honoureth not the Father, which hath sent him. So we need the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for our salvation experience. The Father loves us and he sent the Son. The Son loves us and he died for us. The Spirit loves us and he indwells us and he bears witness to the truth, saying, yes, you're born again. Yes, you're born of God. Yes, that is the truth. No, that is a lie. Be careful of that. Be listening. If you're going to believe a lie, it's not the Holy Spirit leading you into believing a lie. That's not God. That's either you're listening to your own thoughts, your own mind, you're listening to the spirit of this world. Verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. It is important what you hear in the beginning of your salvation. Salvation is important, but so is discipleship, about learning, about being grounded and settled in the Word, so you know the truth of the Word, so you grow. A baby that's born isn't just left to itself. A baby is gathered, people get around that baby and they show love to it, and they feed it, and they take care of it. They do what's needed for that baby to grow. So too in Christianity, you get around a baby in Christ, someone that's just been birthed into the family of God, and you get around them, you teach them the Word, you spend some time with them, show them that love, and just help them in the way. Because what? You want them to make sure they go on to become an adult Christian. Because you start off as a babe in Christ. And it talks earlier in the book of John, talks about those babes, talks about those children, talks about the young men, talks about fathers. And you go through in the Christian life in that way. It's important what we hear in the beginning. Be careful of a Christian leader that says, I have something new. Oh, I've got something new. God, give me something new. And it gets away from the book and leads away from that. Be careful. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Try the Spirit. Have a look at it. Try it and see. Is the Holy Spirit bearing witness to this? Is the Word bearing witness to this? Not just one verse, but all of Scripture. Is it all bearing witness to it? I read an account of a man that was listening to a street preacher, as he was talking, as the street preacher was going, there's two men listening. One was a mature Christian, one was a baby Christian. And as they were listening, the mature Christian wondered what the baby Christian would think of what he was hearing. But the baby Christian said, he asked, what did you think? And the baby Christian said, all the time he was talking, I had this voice inside saying, liar, liar. The Holy Spirit of God will open up and say, that's a lie, that's wrong, that's a wrong spirit. Be careful. Be careful of catching the wrong spirit and going in that direction. If the Word abides in you, verse 24, let that therefore abide in you, that which ye have received from the beginning. Make sure it abides in you, verse 24. And in verse 28, now little children, abide in him. If we allow the Word to abide in us, to take up residence, to dwell within, to have communion, if the Word is within us and we are in Christ, you're going to be led of the Spirit. But if you're not always living for God and doing what's right, if you're not always doing that, then you're going to struggle trying to figure it all out. But if you will stay in the book and stay in Christ, He will lead and guide you into all truth. You'll know. Because some of them are pretty slick. But you just walk by faith and you trust and you continue on. Verse 25, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. You know, God promises us eternal life. Those false teachers, they'll make false promises. Empty promises, promises that don't hold water, promises that won't come to fruition. And this is the promise that you have, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. You know, those false teachers will try. They'll try to get church members from all sorts of faiths. They've already got a form of godliness. They've been in church. They're religious. They're good. They're going to keep turning up. There was just this thing in the news this past week about some religious leader here in Australia that swiped millions of dollars. And then one of his guys goes over to England, I think it was, goes somewhere else and embezzles millions of dollars.
charlatans. They want to rip you off. They feather their own nests. It's not like it comes in and goes out. It comes in and stays in. And they change their lifestyle and do what they want to do. So be careful of it. Satan is behind the seducers. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, it talks about giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. John chapter 8, verse 44, it says that Satan is a liar. He's not going to tell you the truth. It's going to be a lie. He'll tell you something, so you get off track. He beguiled Eve in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He beguiled Eve. And Paul wrote, if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Because they're going to come. They will try to corrupt, it says in there, your simplicity in Christ. Your simplicity. They'll try to corrupt it. Paul later writes in that chapter talking about false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is an angel of light. See, Satan isn't an originator, he's a counterfeiter. God's got all the good ideas. So all Satan does is he takes it and he tweaks it himself. He has his own ministers, and they have their own gospel, they have their own word, they have their own goal, their own end in mind, and they're trying to get people to go in that direction. So be careful, be looking, be on the lookout. See, the plants of Satan and the plants of God are very similar. You ever seen something grow and you think, now I wonder what that is? Oh, that's a weed, twang, wrong. We just saw him the other day, my dad, I was only a little tyke, and dad's planting these flowers, and he'd gone down, done a whole row, and he looks behind, flowers or veg, I don't know what they were, but I was helping dad. He looked behind, and here I am, I'm pulling them all out, and he's looking up the line there, and here comes Neil. I thought they were weeds. That was my story, I thought they were weeds. You know, you see these plants grow, and sometimes you can't tell what they are with just a little sprig on them. Matthew 13, you let them grow. The tares, the plants that God has and the plants the devil has, you can't tell till it comes time to harvest. And it grows, and then you see there's no harvest here. It's the wrong sort of plant. So be careful with those things. Sometimes you have to wait. Satan will just put plants in everywhere. And you think, oh, he's a Christian, she's a Christian. But they don't bear the fruit of a Christian. It comes forward in the idea of our harvest and what we do. So he's given us the Holy Spirit to help us to do that. We need to have that discernment between right and wrong, between darkness and light, truth and error. We need to have that discernment. It takes discernment. Oh, I know the Bible, but do you know the God of the Bible? Do you know the author? The J-Dubs know the Bible. Catholics know the Bible. All sorts of religions know the Bible, but they don't know God. So with that, we need to lean on the Holy Spirit of God and that series that Pastor's doing of a Sunday evening about that. Shows the importance of the Holy Spirit. The different facets, the different need, we need Him. Don't be put off just because one group goes in the ditch about the Spirit of God, this and that and everything else. Don't go in, that's one ditch. The other ditch is the independent Baptist. Oh no, we can't have anything to do with that. That's the Holy Spirit and oh no, because we see what's going on over there. Oh no. You need the Holy Spirit. He's in the book. He wrote the book. We need Him. But don't get the wrong idea of Him and don't be scared of Him either. Walk in the Spirit. Walk humbly. If you're proud in your walk, you're not going to hear from Him. Have a humility and be walking in that way. Isn't it amazing that people will believe a fact, a statement, a truth, a philosophy, an ideology from many other sources except the Bible. If you'll come and say, the Bible says, ah, yes, but I read on the internet, I read this book, and they'd rather believe that, just come back to the Bible and rest their faith on the Bible. Now, the song, My Faith Is Found a Resting Place, not in device nor creed. And we can place our faith on the Bible. It points to the Christ. It points to our beloved Lord. We can go doing that. Be careful where you get it from. You know, Satan, oh, he's a seducer right from the very start. He gets into the Garden of Eden and he seduces. He tricks. He plans. He plots to bring down. And you know, coming up, there's going to be the millennial reign. The millennial reign of Christ, and he's been thrown behind bars for 1,000 years. And that's Galloway, we'll call him as Galloway. He'll be released for a season, and he's going to deceive the nations. He won't change. Being locked up for 1,000 years will not change. And there are some people in our jails, they will not change even if they're locked up for 1,000 years. They're bent on a certain thing. Satan is bent on a certain thing. He will try to seduce. He'll come back at the end and even still try to seduce. So when it comes to the truth, be listening. Always be watching. Now, I'll cover this. There is a difference between being ignorant and being willfully deceptive. in Acts chapter 5, they talk about Apollos. Is it Acts 5? No, Acts 18. Apollos is preaching. And then what? He's preaching one way, only knowing the baptism of John. He didn't know. He was ignorant. He was taken away. They spent some time with him, taught him the way more perfectly, and then he preaches differently. Some people are ignorant and don't know. Some preachers are willfully deceptive in trying to draw away. So you have to just exercise that discernment. Is this guy just ignorant? He doesn't know? Or is this guy willingly deceptive and he's trying to draw away? So be careful who you listen to in that regard. People will hold on to those things, and they'd rather hold on to what man says. I was pastoring a few years back there, and a guy came along the church, and he hadn't seen him. He got one of our tracts in the mail. He decided to come along. He'd been having a little home church, and He'd come along, I think, only for a couple of services. I forget all of it. But he said, Neil, I'd like to talk to you. And so my response to him was, I will only talk to you based on the Bible. We'll use the Bible and we'll talk about Bible. Okay. So we covered a couple of things, and then it got on to church. And he enjoyed being in a little home church. I don't know if you call them cell churches, home church. I don't know what it was. And it came out that he liked being in a group where everybody could have their say. They all got around having a say. Oh, I think this, and I think this, I think this, and I think this. Well, see, that makes me nervous. I get nervous about church that small groups, unless that leader is leading the small group. I don't like open discussion. Because one person can say something and it takes the whole focus of it in another direction. If one man has prayed and just spent time in the book and he's praying, he's walking with God, listen to the one man, not sometimes the sheep that are in there. I love playing the devil's advocate. I love it. I could just throw something out. Hey, what about that? Oh. And all of a sudden, I've never thought about that. All of a sudden, I've just taken the small group and I've led it in a way that I want it to go, and the leader's lost it. So I'm not against small groups, but I'm all for one man just being in the Word, praying and reading, instead of getting all these different opinions, because someone's opinion may just lead others astray. So we got down to it, and I said, so who do you listen to? Oh, I listen to a lot of people. I said, well, who's your pastor? I don't have one. I said, well, the biblical pattern is you have a pastor. Someone that prays over you, someone that loves you, that leads you. He'll help you. He draws alongside you. Every sheep needs a shepherd. We need someone. And that's where he couldn't argue. I said, no. Now tell me what the scriptures say. And he couldn't tell me. He had no biblical standing for his home church. Now I know sometimes you have churches at home because that's how they start. I'm not against that. But be careful of going in a certain direction. Just be careful. I'm just waving the flag. Be careful. Be careful. Because those groups can be hijacked. Okay, so did I kill the Sunday school this morning? It got real quiet. I've seen enough. I've been around long enough, I think I could say it. And I'll give you this in testimony. We were in a church, that small group, and I dropped out of it. I didn't go to Sunday school. And I told the teacher, I knew him. I'd known him for years and years and years. And I said, mate, you're going to find somebody in that class who's going to be pushing their own barrow. And I said, if they start pushing a barrow, I'm not going to back down. So I said, it's best. I'm not going to go. But you need to rule that class. You better make sure you're leading the class and not throwing it open to questions. And everyone else brings in a thought, and all of a sudden it's gone in a different direction, and it's hard to get them back. As a preacher, you'll find a service can go in one direction and you'll never get it back. So you just need to be careful. Verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. Oh, so we don't need to go to church. I said all that for that one verse. Because people say, oh, you don't need to go to church. The Holy Spirit is my teacher. The Holy Spirit uses men to teach. He gave them as a gift, Ephesians 4, for the edifying of the body of Christ so that people will learn. Are we the Lord over the Lord's heritage, the Lord's flock, 1 Peter 5? No. We are shepherds. We guide in the way. We help and guide and point you towards the book. We point you towards the Lord, and he will guide us. Sometimes you're going to find yourself in a position and you just don't know what to do. I've gone to a pastor and said, mate, I am so messed up in this thing. I just don't know what to do. If you tell me what to do, I will do it. He said, Brother Neil, I'd recommend you do this. And I did it, and God blessed. I did just what he said. So allow yourself to be led. There ought not be any mavericks in the Lord's work. Teachers are there to protect us from falsehood. They're there to teach us the right way to go and how to do it. The Holy Spirit, we need him for discernment. You hear what somebody says? I don't know about that. Be a Berean Christian. Go home and search the scriptures daily and find out, is this guy telling me the truth or not? Go and find out. Just make sure. Be fully persuaded in your own mind. Sometimes it's like, oh, I don't know that I agree with that. Well, just sit on it a little while and let it stew. And see if God will bring something out. Sometimes we don't have to have an answer today. There's only been things that I was talking to a pastor this past week while we were down there. There's only been things this past month that I was told 30 years ago. I'm thinking, oh, I don't know about that. But by faith, I'll accept it. But I just don't have light on that. 30 years later, oh, okay, now I see it. Just walk with the Lord and just wait. Because sometimes the light will come later. When you're ready for the light will come. But until then, you walk by faith, you trust the Lord, you stay in the book, you do right, you walk humbly, and away you go. God will use you. That anointing, it says, but ye have an anointing which ye have received of him, abideth in you. That anointing is from the Old Testament. I started heading down this path and thought I'd better wait to this verse. It's the pouring of the oil on the head. It was used for the anointing of a king, a priest. Some prophets were anointed. in that way. Christian, we've been anointed with the Holy Spirit, the oil, not the oil of the Spirit. We've been anointed with the Holy Spirit. He indwells us, and His anointing sets us apart because we are kings and priests under our God. So we have an anointing. We have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, not the filling, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that we can be used of God in service. He's given that to us. We're a part of God's service. We're His priest. We're a part of a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We're good to serve the Lord. We have the Spirit of God bearing witness to us. We're good to serve the Lord. Just remember your bounds. Oh, that means I can do this, this, this. God still has bounds. Don't get out of your lane. Stay in your own lane. Mind your own business. Make sure you go the way that you're supposed to go. It says, teacheth you all things. Well, we covered that. I mentioned that earlier about every word of God. Let's, for sake of time now, let's slip up to chapter 4. Chapter 4, and let's look at some things here. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because there are many false prophets that have gone out into the world. Some of these things are going to overlap that we've already covered. So there's going to be these false prophets have their own spirit. There's going to be a spirit about them, these false prophets. And you know, the world is going to hear the false prophets because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Why does the world suffer false prophets? Because the false prophets have the same spirit as the world. And it resonates with them. It's like, ah, yes. Just like for you, if you're walking in the Spirit of God, you'll hear something and you say, that doesn't sound right, that doesn't resonate, that doesn't bear witness to me. But the false prophets go in there, how can these people get all these people together and such a mass following on TV and the internet and blah, blah, blah? They've got the wrong spirit. They've got the spirit of the world that makes them attractive to the things of this world. But the true Christian, when he speaks under the inspiration, the direction of the Spirit of Truth, he's going to be different than the false teacher that speaks under the influence and the spirit of error, that spirit of Antichrist. Verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. It takes more than just making a confession with the mouth. See, the demons, they believe and tremble, unbelieving. Unsaved believers, they believe, but they're not saved. You find here that in the Gospels, thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of God. The demons acknowledged, confessed who he was, but what was missing was the heart confession. They didn't have it in the heart. They weren't changed. They're still their wicked selves. They were still in that way. It's more than just, you know, being a theological statement or acknowledging or assenting to a church creed. Because Christianity is a change of heart. It's from the inside out. And with the heart, that confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. Even now is it already in the world. So, like I said, we've covered those things previously as we come to here. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So lean on that greater one that is in you. Lean on him. Listen. Listen to him. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Back again to verse 1. The world will hear. If you want to be a spiritual preacher and talk about spiritual things, spiritual Christians will get it. What if I'm not a spiritual Christian? What if I'm growing? Just continue to grow. If I have to choo-choo, you know, see them birds? Mama bird runs out, grabs something, and she comes back to the nest. And the babies open their mouth and she drops it in there. How much has she already chewed out of it? Some preachers take the word of God, And by the time they give it to the people, it's watered down milk. And like, there's no meat to this. There's nothing. It's got no substance. And that's why their faith is weak. Because you go from meat, from milk to meat. Christian, we're not always going to understand everything the first time we hear it. There's something wrong if you've been saved for so many years and you can, and your mindset is, oh, I just want some milk. No, you need the meat of the word to help you grow. Because sometimes meat takes a bit of chewing. Man's going, man, I need to take that away and listen to that again. I need to, man, go over these notes again, because I just didn't get it. God bore witness to it, but sometimes it's going to take some time to take it in. Make a note, put it aside, leave it, come back to it, and over time you'll see. If it's wrong, you know, cross it out. I haven't run off after that straight away. But just take time, bear witness, allow God to bear witness to it so that you continue on. Father, help us, we pray, God, in the morning service hour. Speak to our hearts, may God, you be glorified in all that's said and done today, now in Jesus' name, amen.